Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Welcome. Pour yourself a drink. Like, I'm serious. Like, I've got a glass here. Go get yourself a drink. Pause this. I'll wait. And then when you do have a drink, come back. Cheers. Nice to meet you. Here we are in my Jules's bar. I'm having a beautiful Chardonnay. It's an Australian Chardonnay. So our plan is, first, I'm just going to share with you the story of how I became an intentional booze hound. And then I thought I'd share with you like what it's like to have a healthy relationship with alcohol. And is this something that could be possible for you too? At the end, I have an exclusive invitation for you. So let's dive into the story. So yeah, I hope you're drinking something fun. I wish I could ask you exactly what it is that you're having. So my story, first we're going to look at a deep, dark past where I came from. And then I'll share with you like my watershed moment of decision, and then exactly like what that journey looked like from me deciding to when I actually created a healthy relationship with alcohol. And also we'll talk about like what it's like where I am now, like what it's like at the destination. So you're going to get like kind of the full spectrum. So the deep, dark past of Jules's shameful relationship with alcohol is, I don't know why, but for some reason, when I was growing up, I just loved the idea of wine. And like my parents drank, but they weren't like, you know, my dad would go to the pub and my mom would have a glass of champagne every now and again, but they weren't like regular drinkers or big drinkers at all. And I don't know, just something about it really captured my imagination. So much so that when I was at school, before I'd even started drinking, I considered like becoming a winemaker, which is pretty wild to me now. But I decided in the end to go and study food science. And then when I was at college, at university, living on campus, I discovered alcohol and I loved it. So my booze hounding days, and there was a lot of stories from college, like I was living on campus. I was all in on the drinking. I was like, this is so fun. I love it. Hangovers, not so much, but you know, it was such a great time. But of course, as you all know, if you're here with me as a fellow booze hound, sure, there's some fun times, but there's also the dark side. And so over the years, like that was kind of how my relationship with alcohol continued. And like most of my best friends were booze hounds as well. So, you know, we would get together and drink a lot. Drink a lot. And then what happened was, I really fell in love with wine, right? So in my 20s, when I was actually started drinking it, I really loved it as well. And then, so I just, that dream to become a winemaker was just still in my heart. And so I actually decided to study winemaking. So like how to have a career change in my 20s, and enrolled in winemaking school, left the food industry, started working in wineries. And I did that for about 5 years, not quite. On and off. As I was studying, I was working in, it was amazing. Like I got to travel the world. I got to meet amazing, fun people. And that's one of the fun things about like wine is, and alcohol, but wine in particular, I think it really, like the people that love wine are so fun. So I got to work in France. I got to work in the US. I got to, you know, work all over Australia. And I just met heaps of fun people. We had heaps of good times. It's like kind of wild to me now to be having a glass of wine when I'm kind of doing work, but that used to just be the normal. So I worked in the wine industry. And of course then like, yes, it was fun, but there was also this dark side of like, you know, in my last job in the Barossa, like my boss would just go missing for a few days at a time, just going on benders and stuff. And so like, that was always the undercurrent of like, you know, there was, yes, we were all about wine and enjoying life, but also there was this dark side to alcohol. And actually what happened to me was my second most shameful, I'm not going to share my most shameful, but the second most shameful thing that I did was when I was working in that winery in the Barossa, I actually like, we went out for, it was like vintage time. So it was like, we're just like, you're either at the winery or you're asleep. Like it was just really helpful on. And then my boss was like, hey, let's all go out for dinner. And so we went to this like fancy restaurant in the Barossa called Vintners at the time. and had this amazing meal. And so I'd driven and I just didn't think about it at all. I just drove there, had this meal. Of course, my boss is like, you know, ordering this amazing wine. So of course I'm getting hammered, like just drinking it. And then we went to drove to the pub afterwards. And then of course, like on the way home, because I was living out of town, I couldn't just walk home. I couldn't. And like, I probably could have got a cab, but it just like would have had to be up at the winery. So just logistics, blah, blah, blah. And I ended up like rolling the ute, like, you know, just less than a kilometer from my house. And like, you know, luckily no one else was hurt. I was only had a few scrapes and bruises, but I ended up getting the sack from that job and ended up having to like pay the insurance company for the ute because it was like a work car. And so that wasn't a great moment in Jules' relationship with alcohol. And there was so much shame around that. And then fast forward, you know, decided to leave the wine industry, which thank heavens for that, and went back to the food industry and then ultimately started my own business, which is, you know, all been great. And over the years, like my relationship with alcohol, it wasn't out of control, but there were always times where I was like totally over drinking and totally making a fool of myself and waking up with that, oh, what did I've done it again. Like that, just that awful feeling. And that kind of continued on. And then what happened was, it was actually the 10th anniversary of my mom's death. And so my sister had organized this for us to stay in Bowral, which is this beautiful part of Australia, the Southern Highlands. Rented this huge house. So for all my, I've got three sisters and a brother. So all of our families coming together, my dad staying in this house to get together and mark the occasion of my mom's 10th anniversary. And so it was like, it was a weekend thing. We got there on the Friday night and I don't know why I just got really hammered. Like everyone else was drinking, but no one else was like going for it. It was like, wasn't like someone else was pouring my glass, but I just did. And I woke up the next morning with so much shame, like with my family, with two small boys. And I can't remember how old Finbar would be at the time. But yeah, two small boys. And I was just like, what am I doing? And I just decided that morning that I was going to fix this problem. I was going to find the solution where, because I knew I didn't want to quit drinking completely, but where I like had that control, where it wasn't going to be this huge thing. So that's what I did. I started on this journey and I started researching and came across a podcast by a lady called Brooke Castillo. And she like just recommended to change your relationship with alcohol, just being intentional with it. So before you start drinking, just decide how much you're going to drink and that will change everything. And I was like, really? That's going to work? I don't know. But it's like, I was just like, I knew I was willing to give it a try. And so that's exactly what I did. And over time, it probably took me a good 3 years, but that was the thing that I kept coming back to was like, right, if I am drinking, making that conscious choice beforehand of like, how do I want this to go? And over time, there were still a few times where I overdrank, but it wasn't like I was getting, it was like random, you know, benders like that Friday night with my family. And so I just started to feel more in control and that felt good. And then the more I did it, the more better it felt. I was like, actually started to see like, actually, I can be the one that's in control of this. I can choose. And yeah, of course, occasionally I will set an intention and then drink more. In the moment, I'll end up drinking more. But it was like, wow, this started to become possible. And then what happened was I discovered coaching. I was working with a business coach and like learn about how like mindset stuff and how our thoughts create our emotions and they drive our actions. And so I was like, wow. And I started to apply that coaching into my relationship with alcohol as well. I'd already made a heap of progress, but when I was able to really understand like the thoughts and how they impacted everything, like it was just like, wow, I can't believe it. Hi, Jules Clancy, like former winemaker, former total booze hound, like I'm now drinking like in a really fun way where I get to enjoy what I'm having, but it's like not out of control. So I've like totally found the peace and it's so good. That's the story. It's like, it was just that one thing of deciding to be intentional about it. And that changed everything. And I still can't believe like how powerful I am to have done that. So what it's like having a healthy relationship with alcohol, let's talk about that now. And yeah, like the thing is that when I do drink wine, I enjoy it even more because I'm actually, I'm making a conscious choice, like an intentional choice that I want to do it. And so, and also like the other thing is because I'm not spending hardly anything on wine now. If I'm buying a bottle of wine, I want it to be good. And the overall amount that I'm spending on wine is way less than I used to anyway. But when I am having wine, the quality is amazing. And like if I'm at a restaurant and I order something by the glass and I end up not liking it, I'll order another glass because I know I'm only going to have one or two. So I want it to be a good experience. But the thing is, though, I'm enjoying it more and the actual amount I drink is way less. Like it's really wild to me that I like have like, you know, a couple of glasses a week usually, like, but if I've got social stuff, I'll have more, but that's kind of where I want to be. And that's not because I'm doing it because I should or whatever. It's because that's what feels good to me. And so it's so cool because now, like when I, you know, when I used to go to the doctor and they'd be asking, oh yeah, so how much do you drink alcohol? And you know, I'd be like, yeah, how much do you drink? And I'd be like, oh, well, I did used to be a winemaker. And I'd be like, ha, ha, ha. But now when I go to the doctor, I'm like, how much do you drink? I'm like, let me tell you. I'm happy to tell you. Like, I'm really proud of this. So it feels so good to be in control and not like alcohol's controlling me. And yeah, just that feeling of self-pride. And also that I've changed so much. Like that has fueled me to like the fact that I've gone from being so out of control to so like in this amazing place with it. I've used that to be able to change other areas of my life as well. Yeah. And so like other people said, the other people that I've worked with, they've gone, like someone said she went from like having a bottle a night to like half a bottle a night and like sometimes not even finishing the half a bottle. And, you know, other people have like introduced like where they used to drink every day, where they're now having like some zero alcohol days and actually feeling good about that, not doing it from a like, oh, I have to do this like painful place, like actually like enjoying their non-drinking days as much as their drinking days. Someone else said to me, I'll read it out. She said, like, I'm where I honestly wanted to be all along, which is that I just don't think about wine as much anymore. Even really stressful work days, I don't have that reflex of, oh, now I deserve a glass of wine. So I think that's another really amazing thing about being intentional is that like you stop that dependence of like, I've had a hard day. You don't need it. Like you can get through, like, yes, you have it because it's fun and but it's not like there's this dependence on like getting through life with wine. All this to say, I know this may sound really, wherever you're at right now, like it might sound really unbelievable, but it is possible for you to get here too. Like it is possible for you to change your relationship with alcohol and to be someone who, like maybe you're going from drinking a bottle a night to half a bottle and feeling good about that. Or maybe, you know, you will do what, like being someone who does have a few alcohol-free days or someone who, when you do go out, like you have a few glasses, but you can stop it after one or two rather than needing to like that opening the seal and needing more and more and more. Like you are like way more powerful than you think because you have a human brain and you have this amazing prefrontal cortex, which is the part of our brain that can plan for the future. And so by being intentional, we just want to tap into your human brain. And seriously, you will be amazed how powerful you are. So if any of this is sounding good, if you're like, oh, I don't know, Jules, but yeah, like I would really love to be like, I love drinking. You know, you're not an alcoholic because you can stop if you want to. If you want to do Feb fast, you can stop. So you want to include alcohol in your life, but you want it to be more on your terms. If you want it to be more like that you're drinking less without feeling deprived, then I have an exclusive invitation for you. So let me have a sip. This is so great. This Chardonnay is really good. Yes. So if you were here with me, I would say that I invite you to come and join me in the Secret Society of Intentional Booze Hounds. So it's a secret society because it's really fun. And what it is, it's like a group coaching program where we work together for 6 months and everyone's working to change their relationship with alcohol. So drinking less without missing out on it. So just doing what I said, like making intentional choices about our alcohol, and we do it together. And I coach people on cooking. I coach people on weight loss and like changing their relationship with food. But my alcohol group is the most fun group, like the booze hounds. It's really great. And so we meet once a week for the 6 months over Zoom, and there's a couple of different call times. But the one thing is that we don't, with the alcohol group, I don't record anything. So you'll need to be able to attend the sessions live. So the next group's starting first week of November. So all the details, all the like nuts and bolts and stuff, just check out the FAQ section below the video. If you can't attend like the two call times, I am considering adding a third call in every week because it is so much fun and I'm happy to do that. So if those times don't suit you, let me know if you're interested, and we can always look at finding a time that is going to work for you. But all you need to do is, if you're interested, just email me. So it's jules@thestonesoup.com, or reply to any of the emails that I've sent you and just say, hey, Jules, I'm interested in joining the Secret Society. So the last group, it actually sold out within 3 days. So don't mess around. Mostly Zoom. We also do have a private online forum thing, if that's optional. So if you want to interact there, you can. I post the notes from each week's call in there. So if you do miss a call, you can just read the notes and get caught up, and also any exercises. But it's really fun. And I think like being part of a group where you're working with other people is really like, it changes everything. Like just seeing that you're not the only one is so good. Like I love group coaching for that reason. So before we wrap up, I just want you to imagine, like, if you did get to this place where you were drinking, like where you, like if your relationship with alcohol was where you want it to be, where you didn't have any of the shameful stuff you weren't over drinking, where it was just like how you want it to be, like what possibility would that open up for you? And it's interesting, like some of the people in the current group, like one of them was saying that now that I know that I can do this, she's like, there's so many things about my health that I'm like, oh, if I can do that with alcohol, yeah, I can like change these other things as well. So really like think about that for you, like what possibility could this open up for you? And yeah, I'll just leave that with you. If any of this has resonated, I would love you to be part of the next group. So yeah, just make sure you drop me an email. Okay, I'm going to finish this off, and I hope I get to see you soon. Okay, bye.
Before you go, this is the best part. So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform, and I'd love to send you a copy of my free recipe app, Stone Soup 6 Ingredients 20 Minutes. It's full of hundreds of easy whole food recipes, so delicious they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. It's the perfect little resource to have right on your phone for those inevitable times when you're in the supermarket thinking, wow, what am I doing for dinner? It's available for both iOS and Android, and I add new recipes every week. So it's a really great resource to get for free. See the link in the show notes, or if you just Google Stone Soup and click on the free recipe app page, that'll give you the details of how to grab your free copy.